Viking music, don't it?
Yeah, gotta get it out the mud, that's the only way to win. Who am I to point the finger like I never ever seen? Been through the ups and downs like the letter N. They don't let you through the door, better kick that again. Cause that's the only way to win. That's the only way to go, gotta get it out the mud. Gotta get it out the flow. Cause that's the only way to go, let's go.
Shooting, lights out.
Ladies and gentlemen, how y'all doing today on this Wednesday, April 24, 2024? Man, the NBA playoffs, it's been fun to watch. It's been good to see close games, game winners. We got world teams finally winning games, and we're doing all types of stuff. Man, the playoffs was good this year. I am enjoying it so far. My brother, Alex, is in the chat. What's up, Bear Texas? What's going on, sir? It's time to talk some basketball. But I do got some news and notes for you to kick off surrounding one, great upcoming star of the WNBA, talking about Clayton Clark. So let's go around the hardwood real quick, shall we? And to begin around the hardwood, Clayton Clark set to sign 8-year deal with Nike, reports say. As I'm looking at it, this is on ESPN.com. For those of you who want to know where I'm getting the article from, it says that the most prolific scorer in NCAA Division I history and the number one pick in the WNBA draft will continue her association with Nike by signing a $28 million contract that spans 8 years and including a signature shoe. The Wall Street Journal and The Athletic reported the pending deal, citing unnamed people familiar with the negotiations between the sportswear giant and Clark's agent. That says sports management, which represents Clark, denied to comment. Nike did not immediately respond to a request for a comment from the Associated Press. It's going to be interesting to see. Clark initial name, image, and likeness deal signed in 2022 expired at the end of the 2023-2024 college season with Nike. The new deal will be the richest sponsorship contract for a women's basketball player. Under Armour and Adidas also participated in contract discussion with Clark's team in February, according to the Wall Street Journal and Athletic. Puma also showed some interest, but walked away when told the bidding would start at $3 million per year, according to the Wall Street Journal. Clark received offers of $16 million over 4 years from Under Armour and a $6 million deal over 4 years from Adidas, which both include signature shoes. But hey, when you get $28 million from Nike, which is like the biggest brand in the shoe game, you might want to take that. I'm just saying, okay? I'm just saying. So I like Clayton Clark is changing the game for women's basketball. There's a lot of people that don't like it. There's a lot of people who can't stand it because she's getting all the attention. But hey, what can you do? Because Clayton Clark is changing the game, and you have to respect it. She ain't even done her Indiana Fever uniform yet. And she's rocking and rolling. So everything's looking up for Clayton Clark, you know. But that's what just the beginning of the Clayton Clark story of this one. Okay. Not only that, they'll put some Clayton Clark / Indiana Fever games on free TV. Those of you who live in the state of Indiana, you should be happy. Indianapolis fans with a case of Clayton Clark fever can catch 17 Indiana Fever games free on local TV channels this season. The WNBA franchise struck a deal earlier this week with Tunga to broadcast those contests on their region's NBC and MeTV affiliates up in Indiana. A statement from the president and CEO of Tunga says, "This is an exhilarating moment for women's sports. The WNBA and FIBA are leading the charge with this groundbreaking local broadcast rights agreement. The remarkable journey of Clayton Clark and her teammates have captivated the hearts and minds of millions. We are thrilled to deliver all of the FIBA action to every household in the Indianapolis region." So So not only she's out here making the WNBA worth it, season tickets for the FIBA have been sold out. Also, season tickets for the Atlanta Dream, the Dallas Wing have been sold out. I believe the Las Vegas Aces are in that group too. They better be. Back-to-back defending champions, they should be. But now, people who stays in Indiana, the Indianapolis region, can watch the games for free if you don't have season tickets. How can you not see the impact of what this woman has done? And yet again, I'm going to say it again. She hasn't even put on the Indiana FIBA jersey, not one time yet. We have not seen her in the Indiana FIBA jersey once yet. And this is all that's going on. This is all because of Caitlin Clark. So you have to, whether you like it or not, recognize the game that is being played. I mean, look. What she's done is remarkable, okay? You got to love it. You can't deny it, all right? You have to respect it, okay? So now from the professional women's game, we're going to go to the college game because one of the most famous coaches of the women's college game, Gina Oriano, had a statement that I wanted to get into. This was also on ESPN. It says, Gina Oriano says one and done rule could ruin women's college basketball. And I 1,000% agree with him. Look what it did to the men's game. Look at the men's game. What was more people looking forward to seeing? The women's game? They didn't care less about the men's game. And when they did care, it was UConn destroying everybody, which they ended up doing. They won. Look, the UConn men's has went through two whole tournaments on the men's side, winning every single tournament game, which is 12, by double digits. They just beat Purdue by double digits. And this is really the first time in a while that the men's championship game was actually viewable to watch because we had two number one seeds going at each other in Purdue and UConn. But I completely agree. Do not add a one and done to the women's side. Don't do it. Don't do it. Because we're already looking forward to seeing Paige Beckers back in a UConn uniform. We're already looking forward to see Juju back in the USC uniform. We still got Flajay Johnson down in LSU coming back. We have stars coming back for the women's side. We do not need a one and done rule in the women's game to break that all away. Nope. This is why the women's game has taken over and the men's has slack because of that one and done rule. Okay? Really, this is really when it started. We can look at the NIL deals. We can look at the transfer stuff. But no, men's basketball started to downslide once they put the one and done in. Because guess what? A lot of stars who were supposed to be stars on the college level did 1 year, went straight to the NBA. Now, there's a few of them who are doing well. Kyrie Irving being one of them, you know. Kyrie Irving being one. I believe Anthony Davis did 1 year at Kentucky on the Calipari. He's doing well, even though the Lakers are struggling right now, as you can see. I'm trying to think, who else? Let me see. I can't think of no other. Anthony Edwards. The latest one will probably be Anthony Edwards. I was saying he can't stay on the court, so we don't even know what he looked like. Do not add one and done. I'm with Gino. Don't add one and done. Keep it the way it is. All right. Now that I got the women's out the way, the rest of this is about the NBA and the men's, not even the NBA. We're going to shout out to Tyrese Maxey, edging out Kobe White as the most improved player. If I remember what I read correctly, he had a career high in points, rebounds, assists, steals, shooting percentage. I mean, when you have career highs, I mean, you guys are getting most improved, even though Kobe Wright definitely had a case for it. He definitely had a case for it. Kobe Wright did. But nevertheless, Tyrese Maxey got it. Well earned, well deserved. Now, he's in a situation that I'm going to get into a little later on in the show about his 76ers and what they need to do to bounce back in this one. But however, congratulations to Tyrese Maxey on winning Most Improved Player, the first of several awards to be handed out from the regular season. All right, and that will conclude Around the Hardwood. All right, let me take a break. And then when we come back, we're going to dive into the playoffs. All right, we'll be back.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Cowboys Talk.
The Dallas Cowboys got exactly what they deserved. Let me say that one more time, because you know it's true. The Dallas Cowboys got exactly what they deserved.
Dak Prescott is overrated and he shouldn't be paid, okay? And the same thing with Pollard. I mean, Pollard breaking the tackles at that 57-yard touchdown run. I mean, we needed that big time.
33 points in the fourth quarter. Let me say that again. 33 points in the fourth quarter. And that's off of 4 turnovers committed by the Colts. See, at one point, and the fact that at the end of the third quarter, it was 21-19, and the final score was 54-19. Now that, ladies and gentlemen, that is completely unexpected.
Cowboys Talk is available on all streaming platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and YouTube.
Ah, yes. The tradition, the pageantry, the spectacle, the history, the slut. Wait. I gotta rep my brother's stuff right. All my DMV soldiers, stand up! And welcome to the Commander's Gridiron Report. You want your commanders to be repped right? Well, D. Willie is your man. Commander's Gridiron Report. Every Monday at 3.05 p.m. Eastern, 2.05 p.m. Central. Exclusively on the Sertoba Media YouTube channel. Music by J. Cool.
Where my soldiers? Right side, right side. Commanders. Where my soldiers? Left side, left side.
Rams fans all around the world.
It's a beautiful thing to be a Rams fan right now. Stafford's back. We will see about Cup. And running back Kerryon Williams to return.
Lend me your ears. Or should I say lend playmaker your ears. As he breaks down week by week everything in the Los Angeles Rams canon.
Number 99, Aaron Donald. Can't wait for 2029 to come. To know that you are going in the Hall of Fame and it should be first ballot, no questions asked.
Join the playmaker as he breaks down everything Los Angeles Rams style in Ramily Talk on the Playmakers Blog Network YouTube channel and where you can find podcasts. Hey, Eagles fan. Join my man Cool McCain and a host of others as they break down every single game, every single week, in an objective manner, and also from a fan's perspective as well. Remember, this cast feels just like you. Nobody likes you. And you don't care! Fly, Eagles, fly. Eagles Elite Podcast. Every Wednesday at 8:30 p.m. Eastern on YouTube and other podcast outlets.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Shooting Lights Out. Now, we got the news and notes out the way. Now it's time to talk playoff basketball. Because it has been so fun to watch thus far in the playoffs. All right. So here we are. We are almost a week into the playoffs. I think we're, let me see, about 4 days in. Tonight would be 4 days into the playoffs. And we have some a lot of stuff take place already. So here we are right now. We got OKC up 1-0 on the west side. We got the Clippers and Mavs tied at 1. Timberwolves up 2-0 on the Suns. Same thing with the defending champ Nuggets on the Lakers. Boston's up 1-0 on the Heat. Cavs up 2-0 on the Magic. Milwaukee and Indiana tied at 1 apiece. And then the New York Knicks up 2-0 on the 76ers. So let's break it down series by series, all right? Starting with the game that tipped everything off in the Eastern Conference, which is the Orlando Magic, the fifth seed, going against the fourth seed, the Cleveland Cavaliers. I was like they said, they are up 2-0, winning 97-83 in game one and 96-86 in game two.
Now,
those of you who are faithful listeners of this show, y'all know I'm a Magic fan, so I know what y'all waiting on. One thing is potent. My Magic haven't even scored 90 points in two games. Literally. They're the only team that haven't even reached 90 points. The only team. I don't know what to say. I really don't. Because they are the only team that has not reached 90 points in the playoffs. It is something crazy right now to the fact that it's crazy. Let me show you. Don't let me tell you. Let me show you. Okay. No Magic offensively, because guess what? Game one, 32% from the field, 21% from three, 63% from the free throw line. That's game one. Game two, ain't really that much better. 36% from the field, 25% from three. They shot better from the free throw line. They made the same amount of free throws in game one and game two. They took less of them. Game one, 28 for 86. Game two, 29 for 80. Game one, 8 for 37 from 3-point range. Game two, 9 for 35 from 3-point range. Bro, I know my team is young. I know my team is new to the playoffs. I know. But geez, he cannot shoot like this and expect to have any type of competition in the playoffs. We just can't. It is not going to work well when you have shooting performances like this in the playoffs. This is why we got beat by double digits in both games. Just go back. Just look at the final scores. Game one, we get beat by 14. Game two, we get beat by 10. And quite honestly, G, neither one of them games was as close as that's a score indicated, which is telling you a lot. Game one, we was down 20. We just happened to make it. We just shaved 6 points off. Game two, we was down about 20 again. And cut it in half. And that's how close we can get it. But the shooting performance by the Magic, got to pick up in game three and game four at home. Got to. We got to be able to put the ball. Come on. We going into the playoffs as in the top five for defense efficiency. The offense, however, is ranked 24th, if I remember correctly, from the regular season. That offense needs to step up. Paolo Banchero been doing his thing. I got the numbers right here. Paolo Banchero, hey, giving me 22.5 points in the first two games, giving me 5 rebounds, 4 assists. Shooting 48, close to 49% from the field, 27%, well, we say 28 from three. Need. I don't need you shooting threes. I need you getting to the hole and doing your thing. Franz Wagner giving me 18 points in the first two games, 7 boards, shooting 37.5% from the field. I need you to shoot better from the field. Because you're shooting 40% from three. So why is your 3-point percentage better than your field goal percentage? That should never be your field goal percentage should never be lower than your 3-point percentage. So I'm going to need Wagner to get that together, okay? But nevertheless, we're going against the Cavaliers who are experienced and been here before. Donovan Mitchell, 26.5 points per game thus far, 5 rebounds, 3.5 assists, shooting 46% from the field and 27% from three. But we are getting destroyed inside. Jerry Allen and Evan Mobley, they're killing us. Allen's giving the Cavaliers 16 points a game with 19 rebounds a game. The man has 38 rebounds in two games. In the first two games of the season, Jared Allen has accounted for 38 rebounds. How in the blue hell do we let this happen? And by the way, he's shooting 60% from the field. He's going 6 for 10. Then Evan Mobley, the power forward of the team, he giving them 16.5 a game, along with 9 rebounds a game, shooting 44% from the field. Literally, these dudes are combining for 32 points and 28 rebounds. Shooting over 50% from the field. Donovan Mitchell going to get his. We know that. But we letting Jared Allen and Mobley kill us inside. This is why we're getting our ass whooped right now. This is literally why we're getting our ass whooped. We can't shoot for worth a damn, and we can't box these two guys out. Jared Allen is averaging 19 rebounds in two games. 19! What are we doing? Nevertheless, like I said, there's a dojo out there. One in particular will be Coach Johnson saying, but your Magic has never been here before. This is new territory for them. They have to learn the hard way. I know that. But this is a straight out embarrassing, okay? It's just one thing to be new and learning, and you know, okay, now we see this is a different type of game. Dude, we can crush inside. And we can't put the ball in the basket. We're the only team that can't hit 90. We hit 83 and 86. Everybody else is at 90 at least. We're the only team that can't hit 90. This is a problem. But we're going home for games 3 and 4. Hopefully, the tenacity and the grit of the Orlando Magic, which they showed throughout the year, which is why they was like almost 10 games above 500, already 10 games above 500. No, 12 games above 500 is right in my face. I don't know why I ain't paying attention. I need that grit to come out games 3 and 4. I want to go back to Cleveland tie 2-2. And then we can see what's going to happen from that point forward. Hopefully games 1 and 2, they got to go home on that long flight back home to Orlando. And we're to think, this is a different type of basketball. That means we got to up our damn game because y'all need to. Okay? This is very, very destructive. Okay? I don't want to see no more statistics like these right here. I don't want to see 30. I don't want to see field goal percentage in the 30s, 40s, and 50s. I don't want to see 3-point attempts in the 20s, 30s, and 40s. And you damn sure better shoot 80% from the free throw line at least. Come on, that's free. Come on, get it together, Orlando. Come on. All right, that's that. Okay, that's it for the Orlando Magic and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Moving on. Well, Bearman, you asked for it, and here you go. You said the 76ers have been embarrassing as well. Well, we're going to get into it, okay? Here's what we got, okay? Here's what we got going on with the 76ers and the Knicks. Knicks took game one, 111 to 104, and then they survived game two, 104 to 101. Here's what we had going on in game one. Game one, we got to see Jalen Brunson lead the way with 24 points. You got 21 from Josh Hart, 19 for DiVincenzo, 14 from Hakenstein, 10 for Anunoby, and you win by 7. Despite the fact Joel Embiid gave the Sixers 34 and 10, Mike C almost had a triple-double with 35, 9, and 10. Tobias Harris, only 10 points. Tobias Harris on 10 points, huh? Like, you supposed to be the third wheel. You're not third wheeling at all, okay? With only 10 points, all right? And then game two, when you lost, now game two is a whole different story. First of all, how the rest did not call a foul on the Knicks when they just mugged Tyrese Maxey on the corner? I have no idea. Even Stephen A. Smith said it when he finally took his butt to the Madison Square Garden for game two and watching. He was right there looking at it. He was fouled. The rest didn't call him. DiVincenzo was able to hit a three. They actually put the Knicks ahead, and the Knicks kept the lead from there. That's why they won by 3. But, man, they got robbed, we can say. Maybe not. And those of you who are on the panel, the Sixers got robbed, I'm not going to argue back with you. Those you say, well, the Knicks could have won anyway, I'm not going to argue back with you. It is what it is. But look, Jalen Brunson, he gave you 22-77. He struggled, though. He was 8 for 26 on the field. Good Lord have mercy. 8 for 26. Oh, my gosh. That's hard. Hart gave him 22. You got only 11 from Anunoby. Then Matisseau had a bad game with only 8 points. He still survived, though. Because I believe that was the McBride game when he came off and dropped 21 points, I believe, to help them out. I mean, Joel Embiid, 29-8-6. Tyrese Maxey on the heels of being announced as the most valuable player, 33 points. And yet, Tobias Harris, 7 points. 7 points. So Tobias Harris has a total of 17 points in the first two games of this series. Tobias Harris, by the way. The one that they chose over Jimmy Butler when it was Joel Embiid, Jimmy Butler, Tobias Harris in that group. They chose Tobias Harris over Jimmy Butler. Yeah, that same Tobias Harris gave you 17 points in two games. 17 points in two games. DiVincenzo for the New York Knicks had 19 in game one by himself. That already eclipsed you. Already eclipsed what Tobias Harris is giving the 76ers. Hartenstein, 14 in game one, 6 in game two. That's 20 points. That's more than Tobias Harris giving the 76ers. Anunoby, 10 points in game one, 11 points in game two. That's more than what Tobias Harris is giving the 76ers. I just named three players outside of Josh Hart and Jalen Brunson for the New York Knicks that's giving the Knicks more points and more productive than Tobias Harris is for the 76ers, who supposed to be the third wheel of this damn team. Joel Embiid is hurt. We all can see that Joel Embiid is hurt. Where is Tobias Harris to help out? Tyrese Maxey is still playing the hell of basketball. You can't even argue with 35 or 33 points. That man has given you 68 points in two games. Now, only Tobias is going to give you 17. Joel Embiid, who's literally playing on one freaking leg, is giving you 34 and 10 in one game and 29, 8, and 6 in another game. And Tobias Harris still is nowhere to be found. If I'm a 76ers fan, I'm looking hard at Tobias Harris and I'm saying, dude, if you don't get your shit together, you're going to have to leave Philly because this is ridiculous. Okay, the only reason why Miami got blown out of game one is because they don't have Jimmy Butler. And the reason why Miami might get swept or maybe in five is because they don't have Jimmy Butler, because Jimmy Butler ain't going to be here for this series. And we all know that. But damn, Tobias Harris, what is going on with you, man? You got to do something. Like, seriously, you have to do something to get this thing going. Because Joel Embiid is on one leg. And he's still doing damage. A one-legged Joel Embiid, Hartenstein still can't stick him. And it's clear as day. But they need a third member. It's supposed to be Tobias Harris, but, man, that contract looking really a bust right now. Like a real bust with Tobias Harris, man. But, hey, since it's going home down 0-2, it is what it is. Don't worry, they got the only thing the Knicks did was defend home court. It's what I always say when we come to the playoffs. The home team win the first two games. The only thing they did was defend home court. That's all they did. Now, in the case of my Magic and Cavaliers, that's a different story because my Magic need to figure out how to win in these type of games, and then we can feel good. But as of right now, the Knicks only thing they did is defend home court. Can they go to Philly and take one at Philly? If they can do that, then it's a serious problem. But if they come back to New York, the Madison Square Garden 2-2, Joel Embiid still working on his way, getting back fully. Could be getting very interesting and end up in New York, okay? Just saying. 2-2, heading down. All right, one more thing from the East is this right here. The Milwaukee Bucks and the Indiana Pacers, the 3-6 matchup. No Giannis. No problem in game one for the Milwaukee Bucks. They won 109-94. Game two, however, the Pacers came back with a mission. 125-108. They came back to send a message. We ain't going out like this, which they did. Those of you who remember game one was the Dame Dollar Show for the first half. But game two, everybody from Indiana stepped up. Tyrese Halliburton didn't have a great game. He only had 12 points, but he gave you 12 assists. See, that's what stars do. Well, my shots ain't going in, but I can help this way. Dish it to you, you hit, bam. Dish it to you, you hit, bam. Get it the inside of Pascal. Spicy P was spicy in game two. 37 points, 11 boards, and 6 assists. Spicy P was on deck for Indiana. Woo. Miles Turner was on deck with 22 points, 7 boards, 6 assists. Andrew Nembhard gave him 20. With Halliburton only gave you 12. He only gave you 12. He shot on shot 4-10. He only took 10 shots. And then they whooped Milwaukee by 17. They whipped Milwaukee. They gave Milwaukee that business in game two. By the way, the first team in these playoffs to win on the road. They're the first team to win on the road. Now we got ourselves a series, ladies and gentlemen. Now the question is, because Dame Lillard, 34 points again. We're going to give you 8 in the second half this time. We're better than not scoring at all in the second half. We're going to give you 8 in the second half. Chris Middleton, 15 points. We know it ain't going to. Chris, we know better. We know better. They ain't going to cut it, Chris. You know this. You're a champion. 15 points in the playoff game ain't going to cut it for the Milwaukee Bucks. They need you in the 20s, maybe the 30s, to go along with Dame Dollar. Until Giannis come back. That's if Giannis come back. Because that calf injury is that's a dicey thing to try to figure out when if you're Giannis into the Cooper lane, the Milwaukee Bucks, because we seen this a lot. Calf injury, player rush back, they go to Achilles. We're not wishing on that. Knock on wood. We're knocking on wood for Giannis. We don't want him to rush back. We don't want him to have another injury. But we seen it before. Kevin Durant, when he was with the Warriors for the final year. Calf injury, came back for the finals, that kid is gone. So this is a dicey situation for the Milwaukee Bucks. Okay? But if Chris Middleton shows up, that's what he needed to do, because Brook Lopez, 22 points. I mean, what more can you ask for him besides get his pick behind him and damn close and rebound? You only had one rebound, Lopez. What are you doing? We need great. You gave me 22. Phenomenal. Great. 22 from a big man. But only one rebound? Nah, bro. They ain't gonna cut it. I don't need to see Miles Turner and Pascal Siakam out rebound you by a combined 17 rebounds. That you're the tallest guy on the freaking court. You got to give me more than one rebound if you're Brook Lopez. You got to give me more than one rebound. Now, by report, it's 14-11. Good. Don't mind. But we know we have seen you, and we all know that you are capable of doing more. Now, I'm not going to harp on you for 14-11. That's great. That's what we need. Lopez, I need Lopez up in that 11 range for the rebounding as well, okay, to help you out. Because if Miles Turner and Spicy P, if they're going to combine for, 59 points and 18 rebounds with Ty Zyburn even getting off yet, that's a problem if you're the Milwaukee Bucks. So, yeah, Lopez, great. You gave me 22, but we need the rebounding, man. We need you in the post, okay? We need you showing – we need you dominate Miles Turner and making sure Spicy P ain't being spicy, okay, if you're a Milwaukee Bucks fan. But if you're an Indiana fan, you happy. Your boy's coming back home with a 1-1 split in Milwaukee. We already know Tyrese Haliburton ain't even got off yet. You wait for a Tyrese Haliburton game to come up, probably games 3 and 4. Having Spicy P, Pascal Siakam, continue to roar. He's done because, bruh, he had another 30-point, 10-rebound game in game 1. And I remember, bruh, he the first player to have 30 points and 10 rebounds in the first 2 games of a series. So it looks like Spicy P is on playoff P mode right now. And if you're going to get that, and you know a Tyrese Haliburton game is going to explode at some point, we're going to need – Doc Rivers going to need some answers. And I don't know if he got the answers right now. But we're going to see. We want Doc Rivers to do good. We want Doc Rivers to do good. And plus, we want to give him another year. Another year, have a whole offseason, where figure everything out, work everything, what Giannis like to do, what Dame like to do, all that good stuff. We'll see what happens. But 1-1. Going to Indy. It's going to be interesting. The Bucks got to get one back. If not two, they got to get at least one back. Make sure they go back to Milwaukee at least 2-2. At least 2-2, all right? So that's all I got to say on that one. All right. Now, before we get to the wrestling conference, we're going to take another break right here. Then when we come back, we're going to get into the wrestling conference side of it.
Network presentation.
I want to do a TED Talk, but I don't have anything to talk about yet. I'm getting there.
Life is for the living. We're not here that long.
You can learn anything you want to learn without any money spent.
What do I really enjoy? What do I really want out of life?
I am your host, WIZE.
Are you in a life holding pattern? Well, this is for you. Welcome to the Stuck in My Mind podcast, live every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 4 p.m. Central.
In a world where chronicles of the past are brought to the streams. Whether the content is relatable or completely beyond your realm of life, there is no shadow of a doubt that this show is absolutely full of shenanigans. Get ready for
D. Willie in the Evening
this Sunday at 10:05 p.m. Eastern,
exclusively on Sertoba Media, where the struggle is real to be awesome.
Get Mouser Entertainment with Paramount Plus. Stream new movies such as Mean Girls, Transformers Rise of the Beast, and Good Burger 2 with Paramount Plus. Stream live sports such as the UEFA Champions League, the NFL on CBS, the PGA Tour, and March Madness. Catch hit CBS shows such as Fire Country, Ghost, NCIS, and more. But also catch exclusive originals with Paramount Plus such as Special Ops Lioness, The Famous Stallones, and the hit series Halo. The new streaming home of Showtime. Watch Showtime original series and movies when you sign up with Paramount Plus with Showtime. Make it a fun action-packed adventure for the whole family and create kid-friendly profiles for the little ones. So much to stream with Paramount Plus, with over 45,000 full episodes from BET, CBS, Comedy Central, MTV, Nickelodeon, and more. Paramount Plus plan starts at $5.99, but if you subscribe today, you'll get a free trial. Paramount Plus, Mount of Entertainment.
Join the transporter to Hades.
Your butt and gut becomes one.
Join the reformer of hooker whores.
This is my daughter, Placenta Booty Johnson.
Join the bronze car.
Whenever you are in distress, take off your baseball cap and throw it in the air.
Join your very own superhero of broadcasting, Chris Bass.
So whatever color of crayon they get, they palm it and do two circles, and that translates to, I can beat up black people.
As she takes you through the week's paces in Baseline. Live every Saturday at 8 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Central, 5... No, Pacific Time Zone people, just stay asleep when this is on live and just catch the recording. Oh, I'm sorry. Exclusively on the Chris Bass YouTube channel.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Shooting Lights Out. Before I dive into the wrestling cover, we have some breaking news that just hit in the basketball world. Sue Bird joins the Storm's ownership. I got it right here at the Seattle Storm's Twitter account. It's saying, welcome home, Sue. We are thrilled to welcome Sue Bird to the Storm's ownership group. First 10 hoops. Sue knows how to win championships, how to be a leader, and has left a lasting impression on the Storm organization. Here's to the future. Sue Bird, part of the ownership of the Seattle Storm. And those of you who have covered the WNBA, follow the WNBA, know Sue Bird. Two-time champion, both with the Seattle Storm. She played had a hell of a career. All her career was with the Seattle Storm in the WNBA. So congratulations, Sue Bird. Congratulations. Part of the ownership of the Seattle Storm. Congratulations, Sue Bird. Had to get that in. Breaking news to the phone. Now, let's get back into it. Now, we did the East. Let's do the West, all right? And we're going to begin in the West with the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Phoenix Suns in the 3-6 matchup. And the Minnesota Timberwolves, they defend their home court. Beat down the Suns in game 1, 120-95, and Anthony Edwards put on the show and let Kevin Durant know about it. And then in game 2, a little more closer, but yet the Timberwolves end up pulling away 105-93. The Suns have yet to score 100 points in the playoffs in 2 games. That's quite interesting when you have Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, and Devin Booker. Very, very, very interesting here, okay? So let's go into a game 1 and what we have. Game 1, Kevin Durant with 31.7 board. Bill only gave you 15. Booker gave you 18. You only got 9 from Jokic. four from Grayson Allen because he left the game with an injury, and he did in game two again and didn't finish game two. So, yeah, that could be a problem for the Phoenix Suns not having Grayson Allen. But 31 from Durant and the other two superstars combined for what? 33? Yeah, they ain't going to cut it. Because with Bill and Book combined for 33, Anthony Edwards got that by himself in game one. Carl Anthony Towns gave you 19-7. Rudy Gobert, who's on his way to another Defensive Player of the Year award, 14-16. And Anthony Edwards put on a show. It was a show still in game one. Game two, however, different story for Anthony Edwards, only 15 points. However, 18 from Mike Conley, 12 from Carl Anthony Towns, 18 from Rudy Gobert, 25 from Jaden McDaniels. 25. And on the other side for the Phoenix Suns game, too, you got 20 from Devin Booker. Better game. 14 from Bill. 10 from Jurgis and 14, but 18 from Kevin Durant. Like what can Frank Vogel do? In one game, Kevin Durant does what he needs to do. In the other two, they combine for 33. The next game, Booker leads the way with 20 points, and then Kevin Durant and Bradley Beal combined for 32 points, so that's 52 points between the three. I don't know what the Suns can do to win this series. I just don't. That's why they're down 2-0, and they can't even get to 100. I really don't know. Like Minnesota's going to win this series. They're going to move to the semifinals in the Western Conference, and most likely they'll be seeing the Denver Nuggets, and that's going to be fun to watch. But I'll get to the Denver Nuggets in a minute. But I have no idea what the Suns can do to turn this around. But they're going to the desert. They're going home for games 3 and 4. So we'll see if Devin Booker, Bradley Beal, and Kevin Durant can get it together down in the valley. Because right now, the Timberwolves is outscoring them, let me see, 225 to what? 188? That's bad. But both games in Minnesota. So like I said earlier, with the New York Knicks and the Philadelphia 76ers. T-Wolves defending home court. Now, can he go to Philly? Can they go to Phoenix and do the same thing? If they steal one in Phoenix, this series is over. If they steal one, it don't even matter. It can be game three or game four. If they take one out of Phoenix, Phoenix is done. Phoenix is done. And that's going to be a bad look for Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, and Bradley Beal. It's going to be a bad look. It is what it is. Call it what you want, but it is what it is. So, game three, down in the valley. You'll see if the Suns respond and whatnot. Now, from that to the aforementioned Denver Nuggets and the Los Angeles Lakers. Rematch of the Western Conference Finals from last year, where the Nuggets swept the Lakers 4-0. And then most people felt could be five games, maybe six. Lakers probably played better, and they did. But nevertheless, they still ended in the same result as last year thus far. Denver took game 1-1, 14-103, and then game 2, 101-99 off of Jamal Murray game 1 a shot. We ain't going to talk about game 1. We're going to talk about strictly game 2 because I want y'all to see this. I know y'all heard it. You heard it a lot. Like, I want y'all to see it. I'm going to give you a visual of it. We are at the 10-minute mark of the third quarter, and the score is 68-48. That's after Austin Rivers hit a three-pointer, which led to a Nuggets timeout. As you can see here on this screen, on the left side, it gives you the play where the Lakers scored the 68 and make it a 20-point lead. And on the right, you see the Nuggets calling timeout after that shot. What you see here, and I made it bigger for y'all, and on the right picture, the Lakers had a 95.2 winning percentage to win the game. 95.2. Be up 20. 10-minute mark. So we're talking 2 minutes that went by in the second half. Lakers got a 20-point lead. So consequently, 20-point lead with 22 minutes to go in the game. All right. Let's go 3 minutes. Let's take off 3 minutes. What did I say? 2:45. Because at the 7:15 mark, all right. 2 minutes and 45 seconds later. The Lakers had a 19-point lead at 74-55. Now, we took off 2 minutes and 45 seconds now. Lakers have a 19-point lead. So only 1 point was shaved off by the Nuggets. Only 1 point. Now we up to 95.6. No, it was 95.2 when the Lakers had a 20-point lead. With just about 3 minutes off the clock, the Suns went up to 95.6 where the Lakers win in game two. That's after Anthony Davis made an inside shot from 6 feet. 19-point lead. So we down to 20 minutes and 15 seconds left in the game. 20 minutes and 15 seconds for the rest of the game. Lakers up 19. There's no way in hell this should happen, but we see the final score. 101-99 because of this shot by Jamal Murray over Anthony Davis. This shot will live forever in Denver Nuggets organization history, especially if they sweep the Lakers again and go on to win the championship again. This will be one of the iconic shots of playoff history because you came back from a 20-point deficit in the second half. And this shot by Jamal Murray goes in to win the game. I'm going to echo what Shannon Sharp said on ESPN First Take. I know LeBron James was mad about the refs wanting to call DeAndre Russell. Did get fouled. He did get hit in the face. So I'm going to give him that. But look here. You can't have a 20-point lead, lose it, lose the game, and blame the refs. I'm agree with Uncle on this one, okay? You had a 20-point lead, you're the Lakers. 20-point lead on a team who has been whooping your ass for nine straight games. They've been kicking your ass. We're talking about sweeping the Western Conference Finals last year. 4-0. Sweet. You coming in this year, opening night, ring ceremony for the Denver Nuggets. With y'all in attendance, you see in the ring. Remember, y'all did all the little talking that you did about the Nuggets don't respect us. They talked a lot of trash to us. Oh, they were very disrespectful. When we see them, we got something for them. Okay, opening night, ring night for the Denver Nuggets. They whooped your ass. That wasn't good enough for them. They came back to meet you again. It's unveiling the statue of Kobe Bean Bryant. One of the all-time Lakers players in Laker history. Matter of fact, if I remember correctly, that was in February. That was probably wasn't on February 8th. 2024, which is 2-8-4-24. Was it on that date? Guess what? Nuggets walked into Crypto.com Arena. They whooped your ass again on Kobe Day. That's very disrespectful if you're a Lakers. And the Lakers fans were mad as hell. How you let the Nuggets come in there and whoop your ass on Kobe Day? This is Kobe Day. Where's the mama mentality at? We ain't in the Lakers locker room. I can guarantee you that. And then they weren't even done on that one. Just, what, a couple of weeks later, when LeBron James became the first ever player to score 40,000 points, got his ass whooped by the Denver Nuggets. Everywhere you turn, the Denver Nuggets is whooping your ass. They's whooping your ass. They whooped your ass in game one, and then you got this shot right here in game two, which runs it up to 10 straight victories the Denver Nuggets have on the Los Angeles Lakers. 10 straight. They kicking your ass every kind of way they want to. Oh, you up 20. No worry. When we come back, Jamal Murray hit this fairway jumper in the game. Let's go to LA to knock them off. They is whooping your ass, LA. LeBron James don't have no answers. Anthony Davis don't have no answers. Damn, Darvin Ham don't even got no damn answer. Bruh, y'all racing a hell of a game from D'Angelo Russell. D'Angelo Russell hit a record number of threes for the Lakers. I think it was seven. DeAndre Russell hit 7 threes in that damn game. 7 threes. Anthony Davis doing everything he can. Doing everything. He trying his hardest. But y'all wasn't giving the ball in the second half. Y'all didn't give him the ball in the fourth quarter. Matter of fact, let me go look at these numbers. I ain't putting numbers up here. Let me go look at these numbers. Because good Lord. The way this thing went off, man. 10 straight L's to the Denver Nuggets team. That is terrible. That's terrible. Let me look at these numbers. Anthony Davis, 32 points, 11 boards. He was 14 for 19. The man only missed 5 shots, and y'all weren't giving the ball in the fourth quarter. That's stupid. LeBron James, 26 points, 12 assists, 8 boards. D'Angelo Russell, 23 points, 7 for 11 from 3-point range. Austin Reeves ain't getting nothing but 9 points. Rui Hachimura only gave you 3 points. Torian Prince only gave you 6 points. You got nothing from you got nothing from Denver. You got nothing from Gabe Vincent, who should have stayed his ass in Miami to begin with. But that's another subject for another day. And y'all still lost. If you're gonna tell me Anthony Davis is gonna give you a 30 point double double, LeBron James was 2 rebounds away from a 20 point triple double, and D'Angelo Russell ran off for a regular set of number of 3 with 23 points, I'd have been looking at you like, damn, the Lakers won. God, dog, the Lakers won that game. Yes. Nope. Because that shot right there by Jamal Murray said, nah, we ain't losing. Matter of fact, that shot right there capped off a 20-point game for Jamal Murray. He was at 18 until that last shot, and he struggled. He was 9 for 24 from the field, Jamal Murray. 9 for 24. And was able to hit a game-winning shot. I mean, the joke. Now, my boy, Jonathan Matthews, I got to shout him out. I got to, because he can't stand the Denver Nuggets because the Denver Nuggets talking trash. But you cheering for the team who's known for it. You cheering for a team who's known for talking trash, and they all they do is talk trash because they win championships. But you mad at the Denver Nuggets for talking trash. And those of you who out there who don't like Jokic, something wrong with y'all, okay? How y'all can say he's the worst MVP ever? This man had 27 points, 20 rebounds, and 10 assists in game 2. And he's being guarded by Anthony Davis. Why Anthony Davis giving him 32 and 11? He looking at Anthony and said, I'll just give you a triple-double. I will see your 32 and 11, and I will raise you 27 points with 20 boards and 10 assists. And yet, y'all mad that he might be considered MVP again for a third time? Now, I don't mind Shai Gilgeous-Alexander winning winning because ain't nobody see the Oklahoma City Thunder being the number one team in the Western Conference this keeping it a buck. And that means average 30 points throughout the season. So I will mind Shai Gilgeous-Alexander winning it, but if the Joker get it for a third time, I ain't saying a goddamn thing. Cause that man earned it. The man can't jump to save his life, but damn it, can't nobody stop him. So why is there hate towards the Joker? You can't. We all know he can't move. We all know he's slow. We all know he can't jump. But yeah, he's still out here doing triple doubles in playoff games. He giving you 20 rebounds in playoff games. He giving you 20 plus points in playoff games, and he giving you dimes in playoff games. But yet y'all don't like this guy. Something wrong with y'all? And then Michael Porter Jr. Man, name me shout out to Michael Porter Jr. All right, bro. Before I give you his game 2 stat line, let me go to game 1. Because what this man has to deal with personally, he is showing up for the Nuggets. Like, you can't, bro. Y'all do realize he has a brother that's in prison right now. And he has another brother who just got banned from the NBA because those of you who watched the show last week know about it because Cole Johnson did a freaking foul on it about a jump. Jontae Porter. So he's dealing with all this family issues, right? Game 1, 19 points, 8 boards. He was efficient from the field. He was 8 for 15 from the field, 3 for 7 for 3 points. That's game 1. Game 2. Let's go to game 2. Game 2, Michael Porter Jr. showed up, 22 points, 9 rebounds, 8 for 13 from the field, 6 for 10 from 3-point range. That man said, I got a lot going on, but my brothers need me. This is the playoffs. My brothers need me. And he has shown up. He has shown up for them. Michael Porter Jr. is busting the Lakers along with Jamal Murray and the Joker. He is busting them. Aaron Gordon didn't even get off yet. Michael Porter is on his grind right now. Despite what's going on with his brothers, he's there for the Denver Nuggets. I got to shout out Michael Porter Jr. because Michael Porter Jr. is doing your thing, man. Continue doing your thing. Hopefully everything works out with your brothers, but you keep doing you, and you keep showing out. Man, the Nuggets up 2-0. They finna head to Crypto.com Arena for games 3 and 4. And if they take game 3, the Lakers getting swept again. I'm telling you, if the Nuggets win game 3, They are sweeping the Lakers. The Lakers are done. Matter of fact, some people are already throwing the towels on the Lakers right now. They're even Laker fans throwing the towels on the Lakers. Like, man, we're done, man. We can't be done. I'll stay straight to these guys. Can you imagine if that goes to 12 straight, how Laker Nation would feel about one team's dominance over theirs? Like, a team has whooped the Lakers for 12 straight games. That includes two sweeps. That is unfathomable. A Lakers organization getting swept twice by the same team, and they lost 12 straight, if that was to happen. Think about that. If the Nuggets make it 12 straight, oh, my gosh. I want to see what's going to happen to the Lakers organization. 12 straight, and you got swept twice by the same team? Darvin Ham. Well, they did say they bring Darvin Ham back. I forgot. And, yeah. So, I don't know. I'm just saying. Going from one LA team, let's go to the other LA team, shall we? Let's go to the LA Clippers when they're going against the Dallas Mavericks in a 4-5 matchup. A matchup that's been something everybody want to look at because we know we call Luka the Clipper killer because he loves playing against Clippers. And I got some stats for y'all when it comes to Luka Doncic going against the Los Angeles Clippers in the playoffs. I'm going to get to that in a minute. But yeah, here we go. Two games in. And we have a 1-1 split. The Clippers came out without Kawhi Leonard, bust Dallas in their mouth, 109-97. And then game two, Kawhi comes back, and the Dallas Mavericks edged them out, 96-93 is split. They got the split that they wanted. They can go back to Dallas feeling good about their damn selves. Now, let's see what happened. Game one, Kyrie and Luka, they did what they could. You know, they combined for 55 points, 12 boards, 12 assists. You know, but yeah, it just wasn't clicking. It just wasn't clicking at all. And, you know, they tried, but they lost. And then game two, with Kawhi in the back, I got this things flipped. So the stat line for game one should be with game two, and the stat line for game two should be the game one. But game two, Kawhi Leonard came back, struggled. Usually, that's what happens. They were saying that James Harden and Paul George was as aggressive as they was in game one, which they wasn't. And Luka Doncic was a man on a mission. Luka was on the man on a mission. What can I say? So, yeah, we got a 1-1 split going to Dallas. Now, here's the stat I want to give you about Luka. Luka, up to this point, have played the Los Angeles Clippers in 10 playoff games. In those 10 playoff games, Luka has scored 34 points a game, averaging 9 assists a game, 9 rebounds a game, shooting 48% from the field and 38% from three. This is why we call Luka the Clipper killer. This man is going off of 34 points on the Clippers with 9 rebounds, 9 assists, damn near a triple-double, shooting damn near 50% from the field and 40% from three. That man Luka is a bad man. He is a bad man, and if Barrett Test is still listening, that boy Luka is special, especially against the Clippers. That man knows how to play against the Clippers. It's stupid how good he is against the Clippers. He's just stupid. Good Lord have mercy. Now they get to go back to Dallas, tie 1-1, with no problem. Get to look around, get the confidence of the home bed with the family, you know. Sleep right, eat right, train right, and get ready for that Dallas crowd that's going to be rocking. Okay? But the Clippers. It is the Clippers. Now, if they're healthy and Kawhi Leonard can get back to form very quickly, Dallas could be in trouble because Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, James Harden, then you can add Mason Plumlee, Zubac, Terrence Mann, Norman Powell. That team is deep and loaded. So the Clippers have the tool to get rid of the Dallas Mavericks. But if Luka is still being Luka and Kyrie starts to be Kyrie again, and then the new acquisition of PJ Washington shows up, along with Derrick Jones Jr., oh boy, this could be a very interesting series that we all expected to be. But man, that boy, Luka Doncic, is ridiculous against the Clippers. He is just ridiculous against the Clippers. But, yeah, Dallas needs to defend home court, okay? I feel like if Dallas lose one of these games at home, they're not winning the series. If the series go back 2-2 going back to L.A., I think Dallas is losing this series. I think Dallas need to go up 3-1 on the Clippers to put them out. But if it goes back to LA 2-2, I think the Clippers going to take them out. That's just how I feel. Bearman says, yeah, this game was brutal for me to get through. Talking about game two, and then he says, he wants the Mavs to win the title again. I want Wilkins to win it for Dallas. Problem is, that's a team that's in the Mile High City that's making their challenges for everybody. I don't know how you beat that team up in the Mile High City four times. I just don't see it. I don't see nobody in the West beating that team four times. I'm sorry. I don't see it. I don't see nobody beating the Nuggets four times. I don't see the Nuggets losing four times. I just don't. So I just, they're just coming out of the West. I just don't see it. Show me a team that can beat them four times. And I'll say, okay, they're going to the finals. I don't see nobody. The Lakers about to get swept. Hell, the winner of the Timberwolves Suns series, they're gonna feel the pain as well. And then whoever gets to the other side out of the Mavs, Clippers, Pelicans, and Thunder, I just don't see how you beat the Nuggets four times. I just don't. But hey, that's just me. All right, one final break, and then when we come back, we got a couple of games to preview before we get out of here.
Welcome to Ringside Chaos, the professional wrestling discussion segment of the Bear of Texas podcast. The only professional wrestling podcast in the world where pro wrestling is discussed passionately, with confidence, with great knowledge, and most of all, in the most sophisticated way. So brace yourselves, ladies and gentlemen, because chaos is about to be unleashed.
Thing with Tony Khan now being in talks to buy WWE, I'm going to be honest with you. I spoke to this with Ricky Litwinkiewicz, aka the Master of Mayhem, and he honestly believes that me talking about Tony Khan buying WWE is basically I'm kind of wasting my time because Ricky believes it's never going to happen. Okay. Now don't get me wrong. Ricky, I respect what he says. He could very well be correct. But I got to be honest with you. The fact that Khan is interested in supposedly buying WWE, I mean, to me, that's definitely worth talking about. Now, I should mention this. Shout out to Ricky, by the way. And I got to mention this, that even Jim Cornette already had something to say. And he said, and I quote, "Ridiculous to think that could happen," unquote. A wrestling fan that's been super supportive of Brody Lee as a wrestler and everything that WWE could have done with him and, you know, everything that he could have shown and, you know, offered for the wrestling business. You know, for me, I wasn't just a fan of Brody Lee himself, like in character. I strongly respected him, you know, as a human being. Like, I had a lot of respect for Jonathan Huber. You know, that's Mr. Brody Lee's real name. So basically, I had a lot of respect for Brody Lee, Luke Harper, and of course, Mr. Jonathan Huber. Particular episode was about World Class Championship Wrestling. And the episode title is, you know, WCCW Wrestling's Lone Star Legacy. And because I am the Bear of Texas, and I do hail from the Dallas-Fort Worth area of the state of Texas, World Class Championship Wrestling was basically my territory as far as being a wrestling fan goes. Ladies and gentlemen, Ringside Chaos is available on all streaming platforms including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and YouTube.
WWE Shop is your online source for all things WWE. Be a part of the site, man, and score wrestling gear for big events like WrestleMania or SummerSlam. From current superstars to legends, from Raw to SmackDown to NXT. Don't miss this chance to shop for the most awesome WWE merch. Shop for the best deals as well as WWE gift cards and save big on your favorite items. WWE Shop at Fanatics Experience.
Cool McCain.
You thought you wanted Gunther against Chad Gable, but you didn't. And I'm going to tell you why. Chad Gable would take everything that Gunther's done and bury it.
The Playmaker.
It was on sight. AJ Styles walked out there, seen LA Knight. Oh, okay, man. LA Knight hopped out the car. Let's go.
Break down everything in TNA, AEW, and all of the WWE programming. Join these two kings, Monarchs of Wrestling, live every Monday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern, 5:30 p.m. Central on the Play Caller Sports Talk YouTube channel.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Shooting Lights Out. Before I get to the final topic of the day, got a shout out to all the commercials that you've seen today, all the commercials done by the EP of all EPs, Mr. Cole Johnson. Love that man. Y'all see him on here plenty of times. Also, shout out Bear Texas, who's on here, as he's getting ready for the draft with Cowboys Talk, also doing everything with wrestling, and also keeping up with soccer, because Champs League is going crazy. The Europe League is going crazy. From the episodes I've been listening to him, soccer is they own something right now. They own one right now. I got to give them that. So, yeah, shout out to that. Shout out to my man, Coop McCain. He's also getting ready for the draft of the Philadelphia Eagles. Also, me and him, we talked to, did some wrestling on Monster Wrestling this past Monday. Next week, we'll be talking to WWE Draft. That begins on Friday. Oh, man. So much going on. Shout out to my man, Why Is It Healthy, my brother, with all the shows he does, D Really. You know, all these guys that I am honored to work with through podcasting. Shout them all out. Chris Bass. Can't forget the legendary Chris Bass, the bronze god, Chris Bass. Brian Snow with Snowman in the Morning. Can't forget him. And everybody else. So, Shady Sports Network. Follow them all. You want sports content is everywhere. Yeah, you can get different opinions, different teams, but a team you follow, all that good stuff. So gotta shout them out real quick before we get into our last topic of the other day. And yeah, you've been on the tear. Trust me. I know you've been on the tear. All right, now it's time to look ahead. We got a couple of games, the final of the game two tonight. First, the beginning with the Miami Heat and the Boston Celtics at 7 p.m. on TNT. And after that, it's the New Orleans Pelicans and the Oklahoma City Thunder, also on TNT. Beginning with the Miami Heat and Boston Celtics. As you already know, they are one game in, and it was Boston just beating the bricks off Miami, 114-94. I mean, was there anything expected except the fact that Jason Tatum got his first ever career triple-double with 23 points, 10 boards, and 10 assists? Jalen Brown, 17-8. Derrick Wright with 20 points. Kristaps Porzingis with 18. I mean, Bam Adebayo gave you 24. You got 11 from Tyler Herro, which is not good when you're the second player on the team or third best player on the team. Hawkins gave you 16. Yours gave you 10. But without Jimmy Butler, it's a very, very daunting task for the Miami Heat, okay? Very, very daunting task for the Miami Heat, all right? I don't know if they can win game two. I don't know if they can win the game this series without Jimmy Butler, because he's not going to be around. He's going to be out. He ain't coming back this series. And I don't see Miami surviving whatsoever. They might get swept. So, but give you the one reason, dude. These dudes hit 10 more threes than the Miami Heat. That's plus 30 from the three-point department. Plus 30. Good gracious. These dudes is lights out from three. They shot damn near 45% from three. Miami shot 32% from three. I mean, what? Good gracious. That was a plus 8 from the free throw line. 6-14. So that's plus 38 right there. Good Lord have mercy. That's between them two stats alone. They won by 20. Could be more of the same. I don't know what to tell you. All my Heat fans, I don't know what to tell you. And to the lovely Joy D'Angelo, who's doing a phenomenal job covering sports. She's doing a fantastic job. She may not ever hear this, but she's doing a fantastic job of what she's doing. But, man, if you're a Heat fan, I have no answers for you. Without Jimmy Butler, I just don't have no answers for you. And knowing he's out with that MCL injury, I don't know what to tell you. I really don't. But game two tonight, 7 p.m. So those of you who love the bet, ESPN bet, right here for you. I did that all did this for my buzz. I'm not a particular better myself. I don't bet. But I know there's people who do follow me, who do listen, and they do bet on some stuff. So here's what ESPN got for you. I don't know what DraftKings and FanDuel, don't know what they got, but I got ESPN bet right here. So they got the Celtics minus 14 and a half. A team being favored by 14 and a half in the playoff games, that's mind-blowing to me. I get why. I understand why, but damn. Just to see a 14 and a half point favorite team doing the NBA playoffs, that just blows my mind. Damn, nobody has faith in Miami. Jeez. Louise. Good Lord have mercy. Nobody has faith in Miami. Let me get off here. Let me go to the other game. Let me go to game two of tonight's doubleheader. The Pelicans versus the Oklahoma City Thunder. First of all, shout out to the Pelicans. Even though they did not have Zion Williamson in that other playing game, they took care of business and they gave it to the Sacramento Kings. I didn't expect. I thought the Kings was gonna win. But Brandon Ingram, CJ McCollum, them boys came out, they handled business at home to make sure they got into the playoffs, okay? And game one was a hell of a game. OKC 94, Pelicans 92. OKC defending home court, that was a hell of a game. Man. The fact that you only lost by two and Brandon Ingram only gave you 12 points. If I'm OKC, I'm a little worried. Brandon Ingram, who is their best player on their team when Zion's not on the court, only scored 12 points. McCullough gave him 20. Trey Murphy the third gave him 21. Dude. Zuzovic, the 20 rebound. Are you kidding me? Good question. But hey, the guy that I say I won't mind winning MVP, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, SGA, 28 points. To lead the way. Jalen Williams, 19 points. Chad Holmes getting 15 and 11. So, I mean, hey. Josh Giddey, outside of the stuff that you was accused for, yo ass can't be out here in the playoffs giving 2 points. You can't be doing 2 points. You playing playoff basketball. You gotta get more than 2 points if you're playing 20 minutes. Dork, you gotta give me more than 6 points if you're playing 35 minutes. Because trust me, I don't see Brandon Ingram only scoring 12 points for the rest of the playoffs. He's gonna be playing. Unless y'all sweep these boys, Brandon Ingram finna come out blazing. It might not be tonight. It may be when you get to New Orleans, but trust me, Brandon Ingram will not be held to 12 points in 37 minutes again. That's not gonna happen. I expect Brandon Ingram to come out fiery, okay? I expect Brandon Ingram to come back, and they are saying Zion Williamson is due to come back into the playoffs, which means this series. So they saying if this series can go about a good 5 to 7 games, we could be seeing Zion Williamson in his first ever playoff game. It is possible, because dude. What he was doing to the Lakers, it was ridiculous. That man had 40 points. His first ever postseason type of game, this man put up 40 points. And it was against LeBron James and the Lakers. So when he comes back and he's able to come back for this series, him and SGA finna put on a show. SGA is going to show in game one. You add Zion Williamson to the Pelicans team, oh my goodness. It might as well be a 7-game war. Between these two, as Zion was able to come back, and when this series go to New Orleans, it's gonna be something special. And you want to know what's more crazy? Look how close these statistics are. Look at it. We're talking 43%, 43.5% for the Thunder to 38.5% for the Pelicans. That's a 6% difference. 31% from 3-point range for the Thunder, 28% for the Pelicans. That's a 3% difference. 77%, then it's 78% from the line for the Pelicans, 77% for the Thunder. You know what the difference is? Fast break points. That's what's highlighted in the box. OKC got out and ran. has a plus 13 in fast break department and only won by two. So trust me, New Orleans is coming in feeling pretty good about this. They only lost by two. So don't sit there and act like they ain't coming. Oh, I believe New Orleans, they coming tonight. Will they win tonight? I don't know. But man, they coming. Just know that. So stat line for game two, ESPN bet. The Thunder's a 7.5-point favorite. They did say, one says eight, the other says seven. I guess Vegas got eight. I mean, I think Vegas got 7.5, then ESPN bet got eight. Over under 213. It's gonna be a good game to watch. So I'm saying the final two games, game one might be a blowout again. I don't know if Heat coach can overcome this without Jimmy Butler. But game two, 9:30. OKC, New Orleans, it's going to be a good game to watch. Y'all better watch it. That's the, and then game three begin tomorrow and beginning down in Orlando on NBA TV at 7 p.m. with my Magic. We'll look to begin their playoff run with a win at home over the Cleveland Cavaliers. Now they're at home now 2-0 to make it 2-1. Then after that, the TNT doubleheader. Tomorrow, we'll be in Philadelphia with the New York Knicks holding a 2-0 lead over the 76ers. They see how 76ers bounce back from losing both games at Madison Square Garden. And then in this game three at Crypto.com Arena between the Denver Nuggets and the Los Angeles Lakers, can the Lakers finally win a game against Denver, period? Or will the Nuggets put the Lakers back on the brink of elimination, get swept again by winning tomorrow night, okay? So that's all I got for you. Also, tomorrow is the NFL draft, so all my football fans, prepare for that. I'll be taking a watch to the NFL draft as well. I'll be watching the Pat McAfee show because they're going to have Bill Belichick on there, and I'm looking forward to hearing how Bill Belichick sees all these picks going. It's going to be interesting for me, but nevertheless, we got playoff basketball, we got NHL playoffs, we got the NFL draft. There's a lot of things going on tomorrow, so you have a lot of things to watch. You can't be saying you're bored. There's a lot to watch, okay? So with that being said, I am the Playmaker. Thank y'all for joining me today. And I'll be catching y'all next time for more playoff basketball talk right here on Shooting Lights Out. Deuces.
You've done great. But you can't stop here. You can't stop now. You gotta keep going. Through all your trials and your tribulations, you gotta keep pushing. Now, finish your camp.
Yeah, gotta get it out the mud, that's the only way to win. Who am I to point the finger like I never ever seen? Being through the ups and downs like the letter N. They don't let you through the door, better kick that again. Cause that's the only way to win. That's the only way to go. Gotta get it out the mud. Gotta get it out the flow. Cause that's the only way to go. Let's go.
Thank you for tuning in today's episode. If you want to follow the podcast, you can follow it on all streaming platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and a whole lot more. This has been Shooting Lights Out.